But yeah, so this morning we are talking about a breakthrough and looking at this theme out of breakthrough. Now, does anybody know anyone whose mood can change very, very quickly? A few nodding heads, maybe a few nudges, a few elbows going in there. Now, I've realised that nothing quite changes someone's mood as quickly as VAR. Now, any football fans in? Yeah. You'll know that VAR has changed the way that people watch football now. Before, everyone was complaining about referees making wrong decisions, people missing things. Teams that would have won a match, got 3 points, or got through to the next round of the cup, all of a sudden, because of a referee missing a clear right decision, makes the wrong decision, or misses a goal, or gives a foul, gives a penalty when it was a dive, and all these different things, that now we have VAR to hopefully make everything easy, make everything less complicated. But we all know that that has not quite worked out that way, has it? So VAR stands for Video Assistant Referee, for anyone that isn't clear of what that means. So now you have someone watching on a screen, that if the referee makes a wrong decision, they can tell the referee, saying, you've made a mistake here, and get it right. But what actually happens now when people are watching football is your team might score a goal and the elation that that brings, the cheering, everyone's joyful, but then all of a sudden there's a moment, the VAR check is happening and all of a sudden you've got to stop, you've got to wait, you've got to see, is it a goal or is it not a goal? Has someone slightly touched the ball with their hand? Has someone stuck their toe offside by a couple of centimetres that means that goal has disallowed? And people's mood change from absolute elation and joy to absolute despair. Or the other way around, that you think your team has just let a goal in, but all of a sudden it's been ruled out either way. But all these different things can change our moods, can't they? On a more serious note, it might be that in our life we go through different circumstances. Maybe we get diagnosed with an illness, or we go through a situation that's really hurtful, and what seems like everything was going well, all of a sudden our life can be kind of turned around in a way that hurts us, that maybe causes different feelings and causes to respond in a different way. It might be things that have gone in our past that have caused kind of hurt, that means we live in that place actually of hurt and pain, or of worry and stress. And all these different things in our life we can have that the world can throw at us, all causes us to have different emotions, don't they? They cause us to feel different things in different times. Often when we go through these things, when we go through tough times, it might be when your football team lose on a Saturday. It might be something a bit more important than that, or something happens in your life. And the world can say, well, yeah, you just go and do something to make it feel better. You go and do what feels right. You go and have a drink. You go and eat some chocolate, make yourself feel better. You go and have a weekend away. Do something that takes that feeling away for a moment. But we know that actually, often these things are just going to kind of like put a plaster over it. It's going to mask our feelings for a time, aren't they? These things in our world can actually damage our heart, can't they? They can, if we let them inside, if we let them into our heart, it can cause us to drift away from God. It can cause us to develop that ongoing hurt, that ongoing pain, ongoing feelings of self-pity, of just grumbling about things all the time, and actually cause us and our hearts to be distracted and turned away from God. This morning we're going to talk about praise. And actually praise is something that comes from our heart. But do we just praise when we feel like it? Do we just praise when everything seems to be going okay? Do we just praise when we're having a good time, when it's summer, when it's sunshining? Or are we able to praise through all different seasons of life? Are we still able to praise in those moments of hurt? Are we still able to praise on the bad days and the good days? But with that, God doesn't want us just to settle in our places. If we're in a place of hurt, if we're in a place where we're feeling down, God just doesn't want us to settle in those places and cover them up. But actually, our God is a God of healing. Our God is the God of miracles. Our God is the God of breakthrough. God never just wants us to put on a brave face when actually everything inside of us is hurting, think I'll smile and everything will be okay. Or come to church on a Sunday and everyone asks, how are you doing? You go, yeah, everything's fine. I've got through another Sunday. That's fine. But actually, God wants to do something in our lives. God wants to work in our hearts and work in our lives through all these things. God will always be with us through all these seasons, but he wants to work in and through us in these times as well. God wants to do something under the surface. He's not just bothered about us putting a smile on our face, but God's actually bothered what's going on underneath, what's God's doing and what's going on in our heart and how our heart is responding. Often, God wants us to shake the foundations of our life. The foundations, the unseen thing that actually holds the whole building up, that holds everything together. God wants us to have them right and heart full of praise towards him. The passage we want to look at this morning is the story of Paul and Silas when they are in prison. So I'm just going to read through this story now. It's Acts chapter 16, verses 16 to 34. If you've not got your Bibles, it will be on the screen to read through as well. It says, "Once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us shouting, 'These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved.' She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned round and said to the spirit, 'In the name of Jesus, I command you to come out of her.' At that moment, the spirit left her. When her owners realized their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, 'These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice.' The crowd joined in their attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, 'Don't harm yourself, we are all here.' The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' They replied, 'Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household.' Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his household were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household." And what an incredible story that is. That Paul and Silas in that place, that they'd been wrongfully imprisoned, they'd not done anything really wrong in that place. They'd been severely beaten and flogged and put in this horrible, dirty, stinking prison that it would have been. I'm sure for most of us being in that place, we would not have had a smile on our face. We would not be in much a joyful mood. But in that time, Paul and Silas decided to pray and sing hymns to God. What an incredible attitude and heart for them to have. In their, what could seem as their lowest moments, stuck in a prison, wrongfully imprisoned, being beaten, hurt physically in all those different ways, in that moment they still decided to praise their God. Because of that, because of their attitude, because of what was going on in their heart, then we see breakthrough come to happen. We see breakthrough for them and for all the people in that prison. There's three things from this story I'm just going to talk about this morning. First thing is this, is to praise over any problem. To praise over any problem. Now, I'm sure we've all got different things or problems we can think of in our life that maybe we've been through in the past or we're going through at the moment. And we know that different feelings, different thoughts can come in our way. It might be different voices can come to affect us as well. One of the moments in life when I remember felt like a huge problem to me at the time, a number of years ago, when I was one of the youth leaders, we did a sponsored walk doing the Yorkshire Three Peaks. Has anybody ever completed the Yorkshire Three Peaks? Anna has. Anna's done it twice. You ran it once. Wow, showing off. Let's give Anna a round of applause. Running the Yorkshire Three Peaks. 26 miles. You ran for all 26 miles. I'm sure you had a break as well. Well done, Anna. Well done. Okay, well, the Yorkshire Three Peaks is hard enough to walk it, but to run it, obviously that's incredible. The Yorkshire Three Peaks is about a 26-mile walk. So you walk up one hill, down that one, walk up the next one, go around, kind of in a circle, and come back to where you started from. And we did this with a few of our youth leaders, a few of the older young people, to raise some money for the youth getaway, I think it was. And we set off on this walk. It was, I think we had all different seasons in one day. So the sun was shining at some points it was chucking it down with rain, other points it was like blowing a gale right in our faces. So it was a complete mix of weather. And by the time we got and headed up the third and final hill, some of the young people were really, really exhausted. There's points where we were kind of pushing them, like walking up the hill like this with our hands on their backs, pushing them to make sure they got up this hill. And towards the top, there's a part where you kind of, you went up to the top and you came back down and then you rejoined the path again. Some of the young people were kind of that exhausted. We thought they could just wait here and we'll take it in turns for some of the youth leaders to go to the top and come back and then sit and wait with the young people. So a couple of the ones were, and then there's myself and another youth leader who was Rick Hogg, for those that know Rick. We were the last two to go up to the top of this hill. And by this time, there was a lot of mist or fog, or we were in a cloud or something, but you kind of see about 10 metres in front of you. We got to the top of this hill, and the top was just all kind of flat rock on the top of this hill. So we kind of got to the top there. We realised at the top, because obviously we couldn't go any higher. Anyway, the direction we went was downhill. But we got there, and we came back and tried to find the path that we'd come on. And whatever we did, we could not find this path. We went from side to side, but all we could find was like long grass and moss on top of this hill. And we kept going back up to the top and coming back down. And I think it's about 10, 15 minutes we were on top of this hill looking for this path. And I am beginning to panic, I'm not going to lie. Like, this was probably one of the most stressful moments of my life. Thinking, I'm here, there's a group of young people sat on top of this hill waiting for us. Like, they're getting cold, they're exhausted, they're tired. If we have to call, like, mountain rescue or something, it is going to be a long day. This is not good at all. And Rick's saying to me, he's like, it'll be all right, we'll find it. But eventually, we found this path. But the feelings, that's the end of this year. We got back. We found a pub and we got a taxi to get our cars back in the end. But anyway, but in that moment, I think I went through a lot of feelings that a lot of us can face in different seasons of our life. The worry of actually what could be, what else could go wrong and how this could end up. The stress of that time, the tiredness, the weariness in that moment, it just all got on top of me and I really began to worry and stress. That's obviously a short-term problem. But I'm sure for many of us, there's times in our life where we go through those similar kind of feelings and those similar situations. I feel like everything is just getting around us thinking, how am I going to get out of this? How is this going to end well? We can let the voices of others affect our hearts. We can let the situations affect our heart and actually how that is turned towards God. But we've always got to remember, in every season, our God is with us. Our God is for us. That he's going to walk through, like Anna said about putting out that hand, that our God wants to walk through every season, every situation with us. 1 Thessalonians verse 5:18 says, give thanks in all circumstances. Not just when we're on top of the mountain, not just in the good times, not just when the sun's shining, but we give thanks in all circumstances. Our God never changes. Our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Where is your heart in those times of trouble? Where is your heart in those tough times? Has it become defeated? Has it become bitter? Has it become jealous at different times when you see other people? Or are you able to still have a heart full of praise in all situations, in all seasons of life? To praise over any problem. The second thing we'll talk about is to praise in any place. To praise in any place. Now, has anyone ever been into a place, you've walked into a room or a certain place where you've kind of felt the atmosphere is not quite right and is a bit, maybe not quite what you're used to? When I did work experience is supposed to be a time when you get a taste of what it is like to be in the workplace, maybe something that you're interested in. But when I was kind of that age at 15, I didn't really know what I wanted to do. I liked sport. So I contacted the local professional football team. They were professional at the time, which was Darlington. They're not professional anymore. But they have different coaches that would go out in the community and they'd kind of do football training, things like that, in primary schools and in different places. So I contacted them and a couple of my friends. We all went to Darlington kind of community football coaching group for our work experience. Turned up on the first day at 9 o'clock. They were like, yeah, we're just going to pretty much one primary school a day after school. We'll go and do some football with them and then we'll go home and that's it. So he's like, tomorrow if you come in about 1:30, that'll be fine. I was like, brilliant. This is the easiest work experience I've had, could have had. And then next day, went in at 1:30. He's like, yeah, just kick a football around in the sports hall. We'll set off about 2:30. So got in the van, went off at 2:30. We went to different primary schools on different days, did a bit of football coaching. Finished about 4:30, was home for 5:00. So probably the easiest work experience I could have had. But in those journeys, traveling to these primary schools with these coaches in the van, I heard language and I heard jokes that I had never heard before. Like the crudest, rudest things you could imagine, like as a 15-year-old that even still, I've grown up in high school, and often high school can be places where people hear things like this. But I heard them like, I was like, what on earth am I hearing from these coaches? Thinking like, I'm actually supposed to be like a young person here. They've got like a position of responsibility and authority. And actually, the way that they're talking, the things that they're saying to us, I was like, this is not right. But in those moments, we might go into different places where we are similar to that by the way people are talking, the way people's attitudes are. And in those moments, we always have a choice, don't we? We can choose to conform to our atmosphere, conform to the situation, or we've got a choice to bring the kingdom of God, to bring and carry God's presence into those situations. Now, I imagine a prison would not have usually been a place of praise and a place of prayer. It would not have been the most uplifting of places with people that had been beaten and put into prison with different criminals in that place. But in that moment, Paul and Silas decide to change the atmosphere. They decide to bring prayer and praise into that place. If you are a follower of Jesus, if you've accepted Jesus in your heart, you carry the presence of God wherever you go. Any different room, any place you set your foot in, you carry the presence of God. You are not made to conform or to adapt to that place, but actually to bring and carry God's presence, to bring the kingdom of God into the most unlikely of places. Paul and Silas should have never ended up in a prison. They hadn't done anything wrong, but God had placed them in that place to bring his power, to bring transformation to that place. You see, prisons, in those times, we think of prison as you go to prison as a punishment. So you might go on trial and you get 6 months in prison for something, or 6 years, or life imprisonment because of what you've done wrong. And that is your punishment. But in those days, prisons were used as a holding place for what was next. So you're either in prison because you are going to be executed, or you were in prison because you were going to go on trial. So there were people in this place that were there just waiting to be executed. Maybe God had put Paul and Silas in this place so they could actually hear about Jesus before they were executed. They didn't have Barry Woodward and his prison ministries in those days. For those prisoners, it could have literally been a last chance to hear about Jesus. Sometimes God may put you in places to actually carry his presence into those places. God might put you in situations where you meet people and interact with people so you're able to bring God to them. You're able to carry his presence to speak life into those people. Our praise and our prayer and our faith is never just meant for a Sunday morning service. It's never just meant for when we meet together as followers of Jesus. But actually our prayer, our praise, our faith is for every day of the week. It's for every single room we walk into. It's for every conversation we have, every person we interact with. God has given you the responsibility to bring his kingdom, to carry his presence into each and every one of those places. The most unlikely places, God has called us to be in them, to carry his presence. So praise in any place. The third thing is that praise carries power. Our praise carries power. Now we all know that the words that we say, even in the natural, if we say nice things to people, they carry weight and they carry power. They affect the people that we speak them to, don't we? I'm sure we can all remember the positive things and the negative things that have been spoken over us in the past, because our words carry weight, don't they, in the natural. But even more than that, our praise carries weight and changes things in the supernatural. That when we praise God, it's not just words that we're speaking out, but actually it changes something in the supernatural. It changes something of what God is doing in the heavenlies as well. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says, our battle is not with what is seen in this world, but is a supernatural one. That verse talks about how it's not just about the natural things that we see that are actually going on, what we're battling against, but actually we're battling against some supernatural things as well. And our praise is so, so important to that. And band, if you'd like to come back up, thank you. Now, there's a story in the Bible when Jesus returns to his hometown. Jesus goes back to where his family are. And Matthew chapter 13, verse 58 talks about how Jesus couldn't perform any miracles in his hometown because of their lack of faith. Now, even in this time, Jesus goes there, and it even says that these people, they're like thinking, isn't it? Obviously, this is Mary's son, etc. And we know his family, we know his brothers. But they say, even though they're amazed by what he did and what he said, so they saw Jesus and they're amazed by the way that he taught and the things that he said, that they still didn't have faith in who he was. They still didn't believe that he was the Son of God and their Saviour. And because they didn't recognise him as the Son of God, that then Jesus wasn't able to perform many miracles. Now, even in that, when we praise God, it's us recognising God as the highest authority. It's us putting him in his place as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We're saying we recognise him as the Saviour of the world. For those people in that time, they were not able and not willing to recognise Jesus in that way. We would never worship a fake, would we? We'd never praise someone for just imitating something else. But we recognise God because he is who he says he is. When we praise God, we put him in his rightful place and worship him for who he is. And because of that faith, when we do that, it releases God's authority for where we're at. It releases God's authority to perform the supernatural. It releases God's authority for miracles to happen, for healing to take place. When we put God in his rightful place through our praise releases the authority of God in that way. The incredible thing about this story for Paul and Silas is it wasn't just about Paul and Silas. The story could have happened that they prayed and then Paul and Silas's chains fell off and they walked out of the prison gates. It wasn't just about Paul and Silas being released from prison. The verse says that their praise shook the foundations of the whole prison. If God just wanted to release them, he could have just taken their chains off and walked out the door quietly. But no, their praise shook the foundations of the whole prison. It was about God doing something, not just for Paul and Silas, but in all the people around them. The people that were witnessed it, the people that they interact with in that moment. It was about God's kingdom being brought to earth in that place. For the jailer and his family and all those other prisoners hearing the word of God. Hearing what it is to know about Jesus and what he had done for each and every one of us. The things that you're going through in your life may not just be for what you're facing, but actually the people around you. That God might want to do something in your life to impact the people in your world as well. And your heart, your praise matters in these moments. Not just for you, but for your world around you and what God wants to do in and through you. God wants to shake the foundations of where you're at. Not just loose a couple of chains so you can be healed in one moment, but actually that to be a testimony for the people in your world. God wants to transform. God wants to change the lives of the people in your world. If you want to stand, church, we're going to go back into praise now with a song that we started with called Joy. I encourage you, church, to be a people that praise in all situations, that even through the dark valleys, even through the hard moments, have that heart that is turned towards God, that never becomes distracted, never becomes bitter or hurt, but we have a heart full of praise to our God who deserves our highest praise. As Paul and Silas did in those moments in that prison, that they still had a heart of sin, now we're still willing to praise our God and put him in his rightful place. Never be too distracted or focused on the world and what we see in front of us in those moments, what we see in our world, but recognise that God is doing something greater. God wants to shake the foundations of your life. He wants to shake what is going on inside of you as well. As we praise, it releases that authority of heaven for God to break through, for God to do something new, for God to bring transformation in an incredible way. Paul and Silas were chained up in that prison, but they knew in their hearts they were free because of what God had done. For you this morning, if you've accepted Jesus in your life, you are free. You are not living in any chains, living under any burden, living or carrying any hurt, but God has set each and every one of us free this morning. Let's praise our God now.